Welcome to Eye on the Illini. We are back today with Scott Burgess and Connor Kegley. This is Mike Kegley hosting the show, and we are going to have some talk or have some good discussion about what's going on with some of the 22s that are being recruited, and also talk about some of the younger kids in the state of Illinois. Scott Burgess works with Prep Hoops, and he gets an opportunity to see a lot of these guys up close and personal. So it's great to get his opinion on some of the recruits and what we can be looking for in the future as the Illini keep trying year after year to build this machine that starts collecting, hopefully, number one seeds for the NCAA tournament. Scott, why don't you give us a little bit of background on Prep Hoops, what that is, because some of our Illini guys' audience may not be aware of what you do.
Yeah, so I've been with Prep Hoops for 7 years now. Worked for some other networks before then. And so Prep Network as a whole, we're one of the leaders in grassroots sports. Prep Hoops started when I joined back in 2014 as one of four state sites in Illinois, and now it's grown to almost all 50 states. I think we're a couple short. And then it expanded to girls basketball, middle school basketball, volleyball, soccer, and football as well. So, and then we also, I took on a new role with our company this year too, as the assistant director for the Prep Hoop Circuit, where we ran over 50 events this year with over 5,000 teams, including a live period event in Indianapolis, Prep Hoops 2K21, where we had 281 teams, and we had over 400 coaches there. So it was an exciting summer. But with the site, it's prephoops.com/Illinois. We focus on the top players in Illinois, but not just the top players, everyone really. We rank all the way up to 250 deep in once they become seniors, and then a little bit less in the younger classes. But our goal is to get everyone out there that is even a Division III player, get their name out there and get their recruitment, hopefully open it up for colleges so they can see what, some of the players they might not normally get to see. So that's what I've been doing. I've been on the road for seven straight weeks, two high school live periods, and then 5 weeks straight of AAU. So I'm ready for some sleep.
That's amazing. Now, I know that you've got an active Twitter feed. Where can people find you in the Twitterverse?
Yeah, my Twitter is at Scotty B Scout, ScottyB Scout.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I appreciate that. And I would encourage Illini guys, listeners, please go out there and take a look. There's a lot of good stuff. And, you know, the quality of what he's putting out is kind of part of the reason why we decided he'd be a fantastic guest to kind of talk a little bit about some of the folks that we are interested in. And starting up, of course, we've got a couple commits in the 2022 class. And one of them you've had an opportunity to see up close and personal. Tell us what you liked about Jaden Epps.
Yeah, they played at our event a couple weeks ago in Indianapolis. Really liked his physicality and just his intensity on both ends of the floor. He got up in guys' grill on the defensive end and made it hard for them to get anything done. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, which I think Illini fans are going to really like about him. His pull-up game was absolutely lethal. It was probably one of the better pull-up games I've seen all spring or summer on the circuit, being able to get into the lane for those 15, 18 footers, but also could create his own shot from three. Good passer. I wouldn't say elite passer, but more of a scoring combo guard that's going to bring a lot of toughness and just a bucket getter. And I think the defense knew at certain points that he was looking to score and they really couldn't do anything to stop him.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with your assessment on his game. I actually think that because he's only 6'1" and he kind of plays this score first style, it might actually keep him in college a little bit longer compared to maybe some of the other guys that are 6'3", 6'4", that'll kind of, they won't be able to really show what they can do at the college level because they'll they'll just be, you know, one and done for college and they'll be off to the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a multi-year guy that he might not have the most projectable body with that thick frame that NBA guys are looking for, but I think he'll be an excellent college player. And, you know, especially for programs that want to build long-term and aren't, you know, Kentucky and Duke and Carolina and those type of where you just bring them in every year, you're looking for, you know, 2-3-4 year guys that you can build class upon class. And I definitely think he's one of those.
Yeah, he's an exciting player. And I know I love the chip on the shoulder aspect. And I think that plays well with Coach Underwood's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at now, if we go to the 2022s that you've had the opportunity to watch this year, we're hearing, and I had the good fortune of watching the Illinois Wolves play this year down in Dallas. And, of course, you have Jaden Shute and you have Braden Huff. Let's talk Shute first, because his shooting ability is very much desired. And we're starting to hear of people like even Duke, you know, being interested in him. What was your assessment of him based on your viewing?
Yeah, I got to see him play a couple times in July in Dallas and in Indianapolis. And then in June with his high school team. He, you know, he's just an elite shooter, one of the better ones we've had in Illinois in a while. But I think what's really separated him is he's more than just a shooter. He's got more athleticism than people give him credit for. He can score in multiple ways. Yes, the best thing he does is move without the ball, get open, and get shots based on that. But it's more than just that. It's his ability to create those 1-2 dribble pull-ups. If the defenders fly at him, being able to get to the rim, he's good in transition. I think every game I watched, they threw the backdoor lob to him at least one time, which was kind of one of their signature plays on their way to the championship at Under Armour. So he's definitely more than just a shooter, but he is elite at that. And that'll be I think the thing, if he goes to a, you know, more of a blue blood type school like a Duke, they're going to feature him more as just a shooter, where if he was at Illinois or, you know, maybe a different Big Ten program, he's going to be featured as more of an all-around type scorer, which I think he's definitely proven that he can do. I think when I saw him during the high school live period with Yorkville Christian, he played very well, and I didn't think he shot it particularly well. I mean, considering his standard of what he's done throughout his career, I didn't think he shot it particularly well, but he still got his buckets when he needed to, whether it was transition, off the bounce, off cuts, getting to the free throw line in different ways. So he's just a very well-rounded guard that I think can fit in pretty much any system.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those players that as the game kind of at each level has kind of got even more spacing to it. It's just going to be – he's going to be one of the players that just kind of is able to build on that because of his ability to go out there and hit from pretty much anywhere in the half court. I mean – once he's past the half court line, he's a guy that he's going to be a threat to shoot the ball. So at the college level, that's going to be fantastic for him because teams like to kind of pack it in. But at the NBA level as well, he's kind of a player that kind of plays his style is kind of the Tyler Hero mold, which has gotten, you know, a team like Miami was able to advance to the finals playing a guy like him where he kind of has maybe – a little bit more than what people thought he was going to have in college, but then he was able to kind of expand on that and become kind of a secondary playmaker on the wing. So he has room that he can continue to do those things in his game. He can kind of get to the NBA and maybe quicker than what even scouts think right now.
Yeah. And I will throw in one thing. I was kind of surprised at his lateral quickness. To be honest, on film, that didn't come through as well. And he was able to, like you talked about, he did the backdoor play and threw down at Under Armour. I mean, he averaged about 2 massive throwdowns a game on the lob. And I mean, these were not dunks. These were like, you know, moments that got the oohs and ahs from the crowd. And I think even Tom Izzo kind of woke up a little bit. For one of them, he was there early in the morning, and that was tough on Tom.
Did he get off his phone?
You know what? I'll give him credit. He was off his phone, but he was about four people down from me, and I couldn't look at him because he was yawning so much that then I started yawning. I'm like, it's 9:30 in the morning. If I'm yawning like this, I'm going to need to take a nap.
Yeah.
So I definitely, you know, but it was, he had some exciting moments, and I really didn't know if he would have that lateral quickness. It was clear on tape that he can get up and down the court pretty quick, but he did well from a side to side standpoint.
Yeah. He's a much, much better athlete than he's given credit for. I think a lot of times those shooters, we have a kid like that, that's not at that level in 2023, but a kid named Jake Fegan from New Trier, who he's an elite shooter. He's kind of been labeled as that throughout his career early on, but he's a better athlete than he's given credit for as well. And I definitely think that's the case with shoot at a much higher level.
Yep. And the other guy on the team, I got to be honest with, and you know, shoot was fun to watch, but I was amazed at how good Braden Huff was. Down, particularly down in Under Armour, you know, when they ran into some issues and teams extended pressure on the guards, they would bring Huff in to bring the ball up, and it would totally throw off the other team. You got a 6'10 guy who's bringing up the ball, and he really makes it tough because you can't do, you really don't want a center on him. Because, you know, Isaac Trout had no idea. He got totally outplayed by Huff, even though Trout was higher ranked at the time. He couldn't guard him 20 feet from the basket. And then if you bring out a smaller guy, then they start having some fun by posting up Huff. I know you've seen him way more often than I have. What are your thoughts on Braden?
Yeah, you know, he's that new age big man, lefty. He can play on the perimeter, he can play with his back to the basket. He's just very multi-skilled. Like you said, he can invert the offense where he can be the guy that'll run the show at the point. The Wolves would let him do that some. Glenbard West lets him do that some. He's just such a good passer, especially out of the post or that mid-post area where he can find cutters, he can find shooters. Especially with his high school team, he's surrounded by elite shooters, Bobby Durkin, Caden Pierce, where he can just get it on the block. And if defenders sink, he just throws it over his shoulder opposite side for open threes. I think that's maybe what he's best at. He's a good shooter from the perimeter for a big man that can definitely stretch the floor. He'd hit one or two a game on a pretty consistent basis. He's a good athlete, plus athlete. I think he was even better athlete during the high school season. He's still got a little bit of lingering with a knee issue. He had a knee brace on this June and July. So I don't know if he's all the way back from that injury that happened in the spring. So I think he's even got more of a little bit of a more pop than people saw. The college coaches that might not have seen him live during the high school season, because he was really good during the high school season. We moved him up to number two based on his play during the high school season with Glenbard West. But yeah, like you said, he's just a multifaceted guard that can do a lot of different things forward. They can do a lot of different things on the court as far as distribute the ball, shooting. He can handle it pretty well as far as putting it on the deck with his long strides. And he just makes quick and assertive moves when the ball gets in his hands, whether it's the post or, you know, facing up.
You kind of touched on it, just how good of a passer he is. And I would agree 100% on that. That's kind of the area that separates him. He can make the real easy reads that when a guy's open, he's just going to find you real quick, or he can take you a couple dribbles and he can almost create the pass for another person where he creates the lane that a person can go get an easy bucket off of. And that's something you don't really see out of post players, at least at the high school level. And I think that's something that's actually going to be able to translate at minimum to the college level and potentially even to the NBA as a guy that as his jumper continues to be kind of fixed. I mean, it's not like it's a bad jumper right now, but it's not what I would say is elite. It's definitely something that he, as he continues to get better and better, it's only going to make his passing get that much better as well, because when players have to come out on you from that deep, that makes the lanes for you to throw those quick passes even easier to get to.
Yeah. And he was probably the biggest surprise that I saw this summer. Not that surprise is a fair word, but I knew he was good. And people like Connor and Brad Sturdy have been touting him for a while, but to see him in person, you know, he really did turn some guys inside out and, you know, made their life hell out there on the court. And he does it with an unassuming look. The other thing that I have to give Jaden and Braden credit for is they're the best guys at figuring out what they will tell you in an interview that won't tip off their thoughts on anything with who they like, who they don't like. They're you could tell the wheels are turning, and they always give a perfect answer that doesn't give anybody an advantage, doesn't leave anybody in a negative. Just make sure that they keep it close to the vest. So I don't think I'd want to play either two of those in a game of poker.
Yeah, it seems like those kids with the Illinois Wolves program have been coached pretty well with their interviews over the years. Like, they're always very well spoken, but it's hard to get sometimes the leaders or who's, you know, up front for them. But yeah, no, they both kind of keep it close to the vest. I have good relationships with both of them, and I couldn't tell you who the leader is either.
Yeah, they're two good kids. Of course, Coach Mullins does a great job. Watching that team is very similar to watching Gavin Sullivan's team as well, because, you know, both those teams are excellent passing teams, which makes them fun to watch because the teammates are willing to sacrifice, you know, the mid-pro academy, I guess. Those both teams are willing to sacrifice their own baskets to get somebody else an open shot, and it makes for entertaining basketball. So when we look at some of the younger guys here, you know, we go down to the 23s. Illinois has got some really good players there. But let's talk about the guy that I thought was one of the most fascinating players to watch, just because it seems like he can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. What are your thoughts on J.J. Taylor and what he can do on a basketball court?
Oh, yeah, he's a stud. Complete game changer as far as a recruit. We haven't had that type of player in Illinois since probably 2014 with Jabari, or 2013 with Jabari, and then 2014 with Jahlil and Cliff. You know, he's just an electric playmaker with the ball. He can score from all three levels effortlessly. Sometimes he gets a little sped up and kind of in the playground game where, you know, I'm just going to take, you know, difficult shots just to do it because he can make them. But I think that's the next evolution in his game, just kind of pinpointing what are better shots for him. But he's got NBA range already from three, just such an effortless release on the jump shot, being able to let it go from anywhere on the floor. Slick handles, getting to the basket. He can post up smaller defenders when he needs to. He's shown flashes of the passer. He's definitely a score first player, second and third, but I think he can do some passing stuff. And, you know, like a lot of high school players, he has all the physical abilities to be a great defender long-term. It's just, it'll all come down to, does he want to lock in on that end? But he's one of the most special prospects we've had in Illinois, like I said, since 2014, probably.
Yeah, there's a player in this year's class that's compared to Kevin Durant pretty typically, in Amani Bates. Mm-hmm. But I would almost argue that J.J. Taylor might be closer, just because of just how fluid he is on the perimeter might be in terms of his jump shot. And just athletically, he looks like he's a little bit quicker to me, at least. And that, to me, he's just – the jumper is 90% of it with him, that – it almost looks like a clone of Kevin Durant when you're watching that jump shot. And for a 6'8", 6'9 guy that's going to be shooting on the perimeter, good luck trying to block that one. Because when he's on, there really is nothing that you're going to be able to do to stop it up until the highest level of the game.
Yeah, no, I think if you asked him who he patterns his game after, I don't think there should be any question who he patterns his game after. Sometimes it's funny. You'll go watch a player play and be like, who do you play or pattern your game after? And I could answer the question for them. Like, but the difference is he actually has the ability to do it when 99% of the players don't have that ability to do that.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you're hoping that he kind of follows the mold that Durant did, you know, 10, 12 years ago, where he went to college and you get to see him put up those ridiculous numbers. And with the, you know, the kids going to the G League or directly to the draft, if that rules to pass, we'd be missing out. But if he were to potentially go to college, he could have a brand where he builds himself up as the hometown hero type kid. And he would have a huge following just based on that alone.
Yeah. And I think one thing that'll play a big favor in Illinois' chances with him down the road, obviously the McIrvin Fire connection, but also with NLI, the end of the day, like he, you know, those blue blood schools are going to get his caliber of player every year. But if Illinois lands a player like that, they can sell him on, look what we're going to do for Kofi this year. And your name would even honestly be bigger coming out of high school than his was in your potential one or only two years in Illinois.
Yeah. And he's got an infectious smile, and he innately knows how to deal with the media. I mean, when you're talking with him, he's hard to believe that he's a high schooler. Just the savviness. Of course, all these kids are so much better than past generations at dealing with the press. Obviously, they're under a lot more stress in that area, have to learn it at an earlier age. But he really does do a wonderful job of handling the media, and I can only think just the NIL, you know, when you think about if he was going to school in Champaign, combination of the Chicago businesses and the downstate Illinois businesses, with that smile and his personality, holy cow. People forget the other side of this NIL is the business needs to make some money as well out of this. And a kid with that attitude and the way he comes across is going to be fantastic at selling whatever product he's being asked to do. And I just see that as a big win for him and Illinois, if that were to come into fruition.
Yeah, I think he's the biggest prospect that they could sell that to right now, as far as guys that they're recruiting in 22 or 23, as far as the marketability standpoint, being that star in-state recruit with the type of exciting game he has, where it's just an electric atmosphere when he's on the floor. And we've had other players like that in the past, but somebody that has that type of ability is going to be a very marketable player.
Yeah, I totally agree. So let's move on to a couple other guys who really stood out. Owen Freeman, what are your thoughts on the 6'10", big who has another intimidating skill set in the Braden Huff mode? Maybe not quite there, but then again, he's a year younger.
Yeah, I saw him last high school season. I saw him with his high school team. His AU team only plays NY to LA events, so I don't get to see him in any of those. But what I like about his game is a lot of the things you like about Huff. He's a big man that's mobile and athletic, very, very athletic for his size. Quick spin move, I think that was one of the things I really liked about his game. He's a good rebounder. He's actually a pretty good passer, but with his high school team, it's hard to show because his high school team's so bad. They don't make shots, and he's significantly way better than everybody else on his team. So he kind of has to do it all for them. But as far as I think he's that like new age face up four, face up five that can stretch the floor with his shooting. He's got a chance to be a good shooter. It's not all the way there yet, but it's definitely a work in progress. But the athleticism up front, being able to be a potential shot blocker at the next level and a rim runner, I think that's kind of where his value's at right now.
Yeah, he's one of the few people that might actually like there's significant value for him to maybe prep somewhere for a year or even two, just so that he can get kind of an actual experience out of the high school game. Because if you're that much better than your teammates and they're getting ripped and brought layups in on the other side because they can't handle the ball, and you're just facing double team or even triple teams for that significant amount of games, you're going to need to go somewhere where you can not only play against people that are the same talent level as you in the post, you can kind of hone in on those aspects of your game. To me, that just kind of makes sense with him, but at least in terms of AAU, he's able to, you know, kind of push himself and have a couple other guys that are D1 prospects as well that he can kind of work off of and make those kind of gains on his game.
Yeah. And watching Owen, I have to say, he, you know, again, mid pro academy, Gavin Sullivan really does a nice job on teaching his team to share. One of the first plays that I saw down here in Dallas, you know, Owen gets the ball at the right block, looks over his shoulder, does a little bit of a dribble to the center of the lane. Defense comes over, whips the ball into the left corner, wide open three. And of course, with that team, somebody, you know, gives him the shot that his players on his high school team can't make. I had a chance to watch him up in Bloomington with, you know, in June, and my goodness, Sacred Heart Griffin, it was funny because they just did a press. They would just run towards the guards and they would kick the ball out of bounds. And that was pretty much that. And poor Owen, you know, it was hard enough to get the ball. And then when he did get the ball, it was like five on him. And of course he didn't berate his teammates. He was a good teammate. He tried to hit people when they were open. They just couldn't make any shots. But it was very interesting. You saw a lot in his psychology because he was still making the right pass, even if guys weren't really hitting it, because if he was playing for mid pro, those would be assists. And a college coach obviously would see that and say, well, you know, he's doing the right thing. I walked away from probably his game and Huff's game were the two of the more impressive AAU players that when you walk away, you walk away going, boy, I'd like to have that guy on my team if, you know, if I had one. The other, his teammate, of course, another good player, 6'6" wing, Ty Pence. What were your thoughts when you've seen him at least playing for St. Joe Ogden?
Yeah, he had a really good high school season. Both times I saw him, he put up huge points. I think one game he had 37 late in the season. And then I saw him at the UIC team camp in the end of June. Get to see him go up against some pretty good competition. I know Orr was one of their opponents. I believe Marist and a couple other Chicago area teams. So it was a really good experience for them as a team to get to play that type of competition, and for him individually to see that type of players, that length and athleticism that you see with a lot of the Chicago guys. He was able to score as far as off the bounce, using that athleticism. But I mean, at the end of the day, his jump shot and stretch the floor, with that jump shot, one of the better shooters in the 2023 class. And he's just a bucket getter. I think as far as Central Illinois goes, he's probably the best scorer in that class without question at this stage in the process.
Yeah, he's definitely got the range on that jumper. And down here in Dallas, he had the crowd going pretty crazy. Even a bunch of Mean Streets coaches were underneath the basket. They ran the same type of play for Ty that you see Jaden Shute get with the backdoor dunk on the baseline. Mm-hmm. And holy cow, can he get up? So, you know, at 6'6", and he's a thicker guy. I think even the guys from Chicago were oohing and aahing about how high up he could get. Again, another player, I think ultimately his lateral quickness will define where he lands in terms of the college, pecking order, so to speak. But I would say that, you know, not, I'm not saying he's still growing, but if he did grow another couple of inches, now all of a sudden you're talking a whole new deal with that shooting range that he's got.
I'm kind of curious, of the wings that Illinois is recruiting in the 2023 class, would you think that him or Asa Thomas for the Wolves would be probably the better long-term prospect?
Asa Thomas, without question. I think with him, you got an even bigger wing as far as size goes. And he can just do it in so many different ways. He's a very crafty scorer that can post up smaller defenders. I think that's one thing he really improved during the high school period in June. He was the talk of Riverside Brookfield. I mean, there was a lot of high caliber teams and players there, but the kid that I got the most calls on that week after was Asa Thomas, just because he's such a versatile weapon that can play really the 2-4 at the college level, being able to play on the perimeter, play out of the post, handle it. He moves really, really well without the basketball as far as getting open. Elite shooter from the perimeter that is a pretty decent athlete as well. I would definitely say Asa is ahead of where Pence is now. I would give Pence probably a mid-major plus grade. I would give Asa a legit high major grade. He will be somewhere between 2-4, probably in that class in the next update.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling similarly on the two, just based on footage that I've seen. And I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't crazy based on that. Asa Thomas kind of gives me like, I was kind of surprised that he wasn't playing with the higher up Wolves and potentially playing up based on the footage that I saw as well. It seemed like he's the type of guy that could just be there for spacing at the highest level and just kind of, because he's going to be D1, obviously, he's a guy that should not be afraid of the competition at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it was that most of the time with the Wolves, they don't move guys up unless it's like an elite special Uber recruit, like a Max Christie, where he probably would have played up last year if we would have had, or 2 years ago if we would have had normal, you know, AAU. But I think with him, he could have easily played that level. But it's just, I think with the Wolves program, they prefer to play him at their true level, which I'm completely fine with, because you can see him against the other players in our class.
Yep. So we go and talk about some of the getting maybe go down a class and of course Mean Streets and Mac Urban Fire, obviously, you know, have some great players at the younger ages. We're hearing a ton about James Brown. I really wanted to see him play when the Fire was down here in Dallas, but he was at a Team USA camp. So it's hard to fault a kid for that. So what can you tell me about his game?
Yeah, James is, he'll come into the class rankings at number one. He's just such a advanced player for his age. He's got that old school back to the basket game with such excellent feel for putting combination moves together, up and unders. He can stretch you a little bit hitting from mid range, not much of a 3-point shooter at this stage, but he's a pretty good mid range player. Good athlete. I wouldn't say elite athlete at this stage. Shot blocking presence, solid passer. He's just a all around very advanced post player for such a young age. And he's definitely got a lot of high major schools already tracking him heavily.
Yeah. He's not exactly the bouncy type that you think of when you think of like a five-star big early on, but a guy I kind of compare him to in terms of maybe like a recent guy that followed the similar path would be, Terrace Reed out of Chaminade. And he's kind of the guy that is just constantly putting up 20 and 10 at AAU events and high school events where you stop questioning what level of athleticism you think he has, because nobody's going to be able to stop it regardless at this level. And as long as he keeps doing that at each level, that will keep him going as a prospect. And is he doesn't have maybe the same jumper to this point, but with his touch in the mid range, I think that's something that he can continue to add as he gets further and further along.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that with young big men, it's, they're always a work in progress. You know, I don't think you truly see what that player is going to be as far as post players until they're probably seniors in high school. I always say the biggest jump for young players is from prospect to player is between their sophomore and junior year. And sometimes you see that with posts, but even with big men, a lot of times it's between that junior and senior year when they turn from prospect to player, just because there's so many other moving parts with, you know, being so much bigger. And especially how the game's going now, being able to defend in ball screens and stretch the floor, things that, you know, 20 years ago, those guys weren't asked to do as much.
Yeah. The whole concept of a hedge didn't exist, you know, just not that long ago. Now he's got another running mate, Jaden Smith, a much thinner big guy, I'm told. I got a chance to see him in Dallas. Definitely a raw player, doesn't have a lot of experience. I kind of found myself, and this is really going to date me, but I kind of felt I was watching a little bit of that leaner center, like a Ralph Sampson type. You know, again, he's got a lot of work to do, but I thought the one thing I found interesting about him is he had really nice balance, and he did surprisingly use the bank board much better than I would have thought that a kid that age would use it. What are your thoughts on Jaden?
Yeah, I think he's maybe the most not under the radar, because he's not under the radar. He's already got high major offers. But as far as a guy in that class that doesn't really get the consistent recognition that maybe James and Merez and some of those other guys get, I think he's got a super high ceiling, because he's nowhere near where he's going to be physically or, you know, skill wise by the time he gets to be, 17, 18 years old. Runs the floor very well, mobile, big, that can, he's an excellent shot blocker. The more work he can do as far as a skill set on the block, I think that's going to continue to help him. But like you said, he does show good feel as far as, footwork. Sometimes it's almost like he's thinking through the process at this point. Yep. And once he gets, more reps down, that's going to come easier. But he's definitely got high major ability because of the size, the athleticism, and the potential in his frame and how he can continue to get stronger.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that you talk about, that leap from sophomore to junior year, where he's going to just start putting things together and the offers are going to really start piling in then, when it becomes less of potential and more of he's putting down the production right now. And when he doesn't really get a ton of looks within the Mac Urban's offense right now. I think a lot of their guards take some more difficult looks. And then you obviously have Brown getting the majority of the looks in the post, but he could be one of those guys that within the high school season, if he really gets pushed as a number one or even a number two option within the offense, that those reps will really come to pay off later on.
Yeah, what really surprised me about him is I think he's young enough that he hasn't figured out that a big guy is allowed to jog down the court because he's a big guy. There were several times I was amazed at how quick he got down the court just on sheer hustle. And, I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe this kid's going to have a little more than what anybody ever expects from him. Just with that willingness to, now granted, 6'10" makes it a little easier, but he got a block from behind that had people just oohing and on. And granted, you have to be 6'10" and an athlete to pull that off. At the same time, you have to hustle your butt off to get into the position to do that. And he did that. Next up, we've said his name, Merez Johnson. So here's another player that I'm hearing a ton about. I didn't get a chance to see too much of him. What are your thoughts on Merez, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely love him. Saw him during the high school season and then during the spring with Mean Streets. And then actually this last weekend, he, when Mean Streets wasn't playing, he played with Indy Premier Team Rock at our tournament in Indianapolis. And he was just a, he's just a man child as far as like, you know, he was blocking shots right back in the guards' faces. Very mobile, switchable big on the defensive end that can switch onto guards and stay with them for a couple steps. He can test on the perimeter. Just love how he rebounds the ball. He snatches them with two hands and almost like wants to take the air out of it when he grabs them. Just a really explosive athlete around the hoop as far as finishing. He showed he can face up a little bit, hit a short jump shot. He even hit a big three over the weekend in an overtime game where they won. I think that's an area that we're going to see more in his game as it goes along. But his combination of what he can do on the defensive end, along with offensively rim running, as a dive threat, and then his emerging offensive game, I think he'll probably be number two player right now. But as we go forward, I think he's got as high of a ceiling as anybody in that class. And that includes James, who's, it's amazing that these two are going to kind of battle it out for number one, probably over the next 3 years in Illinois and their high school teammates. And it's amazing too, because they play so well off each other. You know, I don't know if you guys got to saw him see St. Rita any this high school season or with the stuff they did in the summer, but they play so well in that high low game where, and they can do it either way, Brown inside or Merez inside and the other as the passer, as far as getting the other big man out and throwing it over the top to the other guy. But yeah, I love Merez. I think he's got a huge ceiling and he's a potential five-star guy, I think, down the line.
Yeah, he definitely to me looks like he might actually have more potential down the line. I'm kind of curious as to whether or not you think that he has the foot speed to maybe even slide out to the three maybe, or if he's just what you see as maybe the modern day four man.
Yeah, I think modern four, especially, you know, so many, something I'm debating on even writing about is so many players now want to downsize themselves as far as positionally, you know, fives want to be fours, fours, threes, threes, two ones. But in reality, colleges and the NBA scouts I talk to, they're all wanting to upsize you. So I think him at a four is a perfect position for him in college and even moving forward long, long, long ways away, potentially, you know, at the highest level.
Yeah, that's 100%. We've actually had conversations recently about this exact kind of idea about players that take away this kind of idea. We're talking about Jairus Walker, who's a national recruit that Illinois is recruiting. He's going to be pretty close to a consensus top 15 player, if not higher, maybe even top 10. But he's kind of the prototypical four-man, and he wants to be considered a three. But in my opinion, it's like the three is getting almost the exact same looks within the offense. So being called a four just means that we think you can guard fours because you're stronger. And you're just as quick. And I don't look at that as a bad thing. I mean, Giannis is a four and he's the best player in the NBA right now, arguably. LeBron James plays the four when the Lakers were doing good. He played the four in Miami and he played the four in Cleveland when they were going on runs. And I think a lot of the fours that want to be threes, it's good that you want to work on your ball skills and you want to be considered a perimeter player, but there really isn't much other than just you being able to defend because you're stronger.
And at the end of the day, it's all about who you can defend to your position. That's what college coaches are going to, you know, tell you. And to be totally honest, college coaches are going to tell you whatever the heck they want to get you there. And then when they get you on campus, they're going to be like, hey, you go down there with the big guys. So yeah, it's just, it's a very interesting thing where players all want to tell me what position they are instead of watching the game and making the decision on what position they are. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And I think Jairus is going to find out that everybody's going to EJ Liddell and they're going to tell him he's a three. He's going to play four unless the center's hurt. And then he's going to play five. And, you know, I was actually talking to some of the of his team's fans at the Under Armour event down here. And, you know, that was one of the things that I told him. I'm like, well, maybe you can take a look at what coach tells you he's actually going to play him at the four, because then at least you'll know that coach is telling you the truth versus, you know, trying to say you're a three. But, you know, that's a thing, I guess, going across the country right now. Rather tune into somebody who tells you what you want to hear, not what the truth is. But, you know, that he was probably the other guy when you take, you know, walking away from Huff and Freeman, I walked away going, wow, those guys are exciting. And Walker was the same way. Just one of those guys. I called him Zion Light. But holy cow, was he something to watch. If you get the opportunity, it will be well worth it. Going into the state of Illinois, got a couple more players we wanted to talk about, and then we'll let you go. And certainly, we really thank you for the detail that you're going into. This is a great discussion, and Illini guys, fans really want to know about the players, and you're doing a great job of helping them get more familiar with what these players bring to the table. And obviously, Prep Hoops is where you go to read his stuff. Chris Riddell, any thoughts on him?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, today he announced that he's going to go to AZ Compass Prep. He was at Kenwood for his freshman year. Was one of the more in limited time. He played sophomores the first half of the shortened, whatever we want to call it, season we had here. And then got moved up to that loaded team with JJ Taylor, Darren Ames, Davis Lowry, and he didn't look like he missed a beat as far as he's physically ready to go. He's got a big frame. He's super, super strong for a wing. I think one of the things that was most impressive to me, the more I watched him, was his passing. He's actually a better passer than he's given credit for, with very physically developed guys. You mentioned Jairus Walker. I remember watching him when he was young. He was a very physically developed player at a young age. Sometimes you worry about, okay, are they tapped out as far as, is this kind of what we got at this age? But with Chris, I think his ability to shoot it, pass, and, you know, do some skill stuff, instead of just kind of play bully ball and run over guys like a running back, I think that shows his potential long term. I know Illinois offered him during July, so I think he's definitely one to keep an eye on. He would have been a top 10 for sure, possibly top five kid in that class, because of what he's done with the fire and during the high school season. But yeah, he'll be out in Arizona now.
So how tall do you think he is? Because I always take those heights and weights with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah, he's probably legit 6'4", maybe 6'5".
Okay. Yeah, because he looked like a stud.
Yeah.
Now, there's no way I'm going to pronounce this name right. So I'm going to leave this to you, Scott. This is where the host has the prerogative of throwing it to you. See if you can give me this name, because this is a player I was not familiar with. I know you and Connor are familiar. Let's give it a basic how you think we would pronounce it.
Yeah, Nojis Indriasitis, I'm gonna say. Okay. 6'4", two guard from Lamont. He opened a lot of eyes with his play during June with Lamont, especially during that Ridgewood team camp, where I want to say they played Simeon. It was either Simeon or another high profile team. And I remember, you know, texting a few coaches that were watching the same game I was, saying before the game, I was like, make sure you watch that kid. Like, you know, this isn't a nobody team they're playing. This kid's like legit high major good. Not a lot of people knew about him. He was one of the best scoring underclassmen in the state last year, freshman or sophomore. He put up massive numbers every time I saw him play. Just a fluid athlete that can get buckets from pretty much anywhere on the floor. He's got kind of that European style game, with the way he moves without the ball. The creativity he has with his handle, he's got some athletic pop to him. I think he's definitely projects as one of the best players in that class. Illinois extended an offer early, which I think was wise, because I think he's going to have a lot of high majors calling on him.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that just like you have the top guys that are maybe considered like the big national guys, but it's always good to have the depth inside the classes as well, which means if, even if Illinois does miss on a couple of these guys, you have some fallback plans that are just like, that's a, another guy that's going to be, he'll be playing somewhere if it's not at Illinois, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Scott, you've spent quite a bit of time with us and I want to thank you for that. Before we get out of here, I'm going to do a wrap up of the show, but before we do that, you want to give another advertisement to Prep Hoops? Because obviously, if you've enjoyed this podcast, you know, we want to encourage you to go over and find out what Scott has to say and take a look at what Prep Hoops has to offer.
Yeah, so it's prephoops.com/Illinois. And we put up about 1,000 articles a year on the website, everything from scouting reports to rankings to recruiting info, notebooks, video interviews with kids at events. So pretty much everything. And like I said at the beginning, it's not it, you know, we definitely cover those elite talents that Illinois is recruiting, but some of those players you'll see at, you know, Urbana High School or Champaign Centennial or, you know, different schools in Central and Southern Illinois that might not get pubbed as much. You know, we cover them as well. We'll catch, you know, somewhere between a normal season, 175 to 200 high school games. And we're out every weekend for AAU. So yeah, that's where you can check that out. And then my Twitter is at Scotty D Scout.
Perfect. I really appreciate it. So obviously, folks, when, you know, you're looking for information on basketball, you have another source here that's fantastic. And of course, thank you so much for subscribing to IlliniGuys.com. We really appreciate having you there. Remember, we have a 7-day free trial. And of course, there will be a free ticket giveaway. You can win 2 tickets to the Illini Nebraska season opener on August 28th. I believe the drawing is held on August 13th. So you definitely want to get in there and get your name in the hat as soon as you can. So subscribe now. All subscribers are eligible. And of course, don't forget on the weekend of August 20th, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular will debut across the state of Illinois. We have over 20 stations that are going to be carrying us. We will have that listing up on the website. We will make sure that you know where your local station is and what time that they will be on. So grab a radio and go old style and listen to us there. And of course, whether you live in Champaign, Urbana, or Chicago, whether you live halfway across the United States or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com is the best place to stay in the know with Illini Sports. Thank you, everyone, and we will see you next week.